Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 13 December 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, first things first, today is Sophia Carice's Wisdom Grace's birthday today. She turned 13 today. Hunter wasn't here for his birthday, but he's also turned, he was on vacation, goofing off. But they both turned lucky number 13, so happy birthday, Sophia and Hunter! Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, so that he could go to a cross through Operation Grace and solve the world problem of sin, making it possible for anyone, any place, anywhere to receive the gift of eternal life by simply believing in Jesus Christ. And for that, sir, we are forever grateful. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start the corrected translation at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. And that brought us to verse 3. But summarizing those first two verses, our human body is simply a tent. Our human body is a very temporary house. James 4:14 says that you are just a vapor, that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Our life and our human body is very, very short. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. As long as we are in our human body on earth, there will be pressures, adversity, suffering. God has provided His grace and His power so that we can clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. He has given us the unique spiritual life of the church age. And with that, His problem-solving devices. And when we attain spiritual maturity and have those problem-solving devices out on the front line of our soul, the forward line of troops, and have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart, that is when we glorify God in time by clearing the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. And we keep on intensively longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We look forward to our resurrection body. When our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body, is received, all such groaning in our human body will give way to laughter, to exultation, to great, great happiness. And then that brings us to verse 3, and we just barely got started in verse 3. The King James says in his thundering diction, "If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked." This is the conditional particle AE with the enclitic particle ge, plus the conjunction chi, plus the aorist middle participle of the verb enduo, plus the future passive indicative of heurisko with the objective negative u, plus the nominative plural of gumnas. The combination of the conditional particle AE with the enclitic particle ge and the conjunction chi, those three together provide very great emphasis. It looks like this. A, ge, chi. E-I-G-E-K-A-I. So it looks like that, and that is an extremely emphatic phrase. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 152, says that the enclitic particle ge often cannot be translated, but it does serve to add great emphasis. And when you add that to the emphatic use of the conjunction chi, you have greater emphasis. And then add to that the conditional particle AE, and it can be translated, if in fact, or if indeed, or in as much as. And then we have the verb enduo. E-N-D-U long O, enduo. In the active voice, enduo means to dress someone or to clothe someone. In the middle voice, which is what we have, it means to clothe oneself in something, to put on something, to wear something. At the resurrection, the rapture of the royal family of God, the church age believer's soul and human spirit will be clothed in a resurrection body. His soul and spirit will put on a resurrection body. his soul and spirit will wear a resurrection body. And therefore, we will not be found naked. Then we have the verb heorisko, and this is where we stopped last time. Heorisko, heurisko. Heorisko, couple points. Literally, heurisko means that you search for something, with the result that you find something. You discover something. You come upon something. But it's after a lot of searching, after a lot of seeking, and then you find, you discover, you come upon. And you will understand this, especially a state like Nevada or a state like California, any state where there is a lot of mining. There is usually a city named Eureka. We have Eureka, Nevada. There's Eureka, California. And this is, Eureka is actually, that is the perfect active indicative of heurisko. The perfect active indicative of that is heureka. Now that's the heavy breathing mark. Now that's not included in our transliteration, but EURKA. There you have it. Eureka. So the perfect active indicative of the verb heurisko is heureka or eureka. After searching and searching and searching, they came upon a gold nugget, or a gold vein, or silver in a mountain. And they cried out, Eureka! Heureka! I have found it! And that's exactly the translation of it. So a city springs up, and they name that city Eureka. Well, that's all come from the Greek word heurisko. Point two. Figuratively, heurisko refers to intellectual discovery. Figuratively, it refers to intellectual discovery based upon reflection, examination, investigation. Three, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be found, to appear, to prove, to be shown. And we have with this verb, point four, the objective negative ooh, and that slams the door. And so the corrected translation is absolutely will not be found. Absolutely will not be found what? Gumnas. You don't want to be found gumnas. G-U-M-N-O-S. Gumnas. And gumnas literally means naked. Or stripped, or bare, or without an outer garment. Gumnas. Figuratively, it is used of the soul as being naked. So the corrected translation, inasmuch as we, or in fact, we, indeed, if in fact we, if indeed we, inasmuch as we, having put on the resurrection body, the resurrection at the rapture, we absolutely will not be found naked. Inasmuch as we, having put on the resurrection body at the rapture, we absolutely will not be found naked. And that brings us to verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Well, we know tabernacle is a terrible translation because we know the Greek word is skenos. Well, maybe you didn't, but you do now. And skenos is not a tabernacle. Skenos is a tent. So we have the postpositive conjunction gar plus the conjunction chi plus the articular present active participle of ame plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of skenos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of stenazo. So we start out with the postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. And gar is an inferential gar, and the inferential gar can be translated certainly, by all means, so, or then. We will translate it certainly, and with the emphatic use of the conjunction chi, which is what we have chi gar. It, chi gar is used for exclamations or very strong affirmations. So chi gar is correctly translated certainly indeed. Certainly indeed. And then the present active participle of the to be verb ame is temporal, and you translate it while we are. And then the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of skenos with the definite article. And skenos is the word for tent. Preposition en, in, and is correctly translated in this tent, in our human body. The human body, verse 1, is declared to be a tent. In this tent, in our human body. And then the verb stenazo. That's S-T-E-N-A-Z-O. Stenazo. Now this is the same verb that we had in verse 2. And this is the verb that means to groan. And this is groaning in the soul. This is groaning as a result of, because of suffering. Suffering for blessing for the winner believer. Adversity, testing, trials. And the result of that is groaning. Groaning is something that occurs while we're here on planet Earth, living in our very temporary tent. It will not, there is no stenazo in a resurrection body in heaven. So this is strictly a groaning that applies to our tent, our very temporary human body. So it is groaning because of suffering, adversity, testing, trials. It means you are hurting so much that you are making noises. For the winner believer, this groaning is the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. The present tense is a customary present. The customary present does not present action in progress, but makes a statement of general timeless fact. It does not say that something is happening, but that something does happen, and it does happen for the winner believer. The active voice, the believer living in the tent of the human body, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the standpoint of certainty, reality, and fact. So the corrected translation at this point says, certainly indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan. We groan as a result of suffering and trials and adversity and testing. And then we have the phrase being burdened. And this is the present passive participle of the verb bareo. B-A-R-E, long O, bareo. One, bareo literally means to weigh down or to burden. It's the literal meaning. Two, in the New Testament scriptures, however, it is only used figuratively. And in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be burdened, oppressed, to receive extreme suffering. Burdened, oppressed, extreme, it receive extreme suffering. Three, bareo is the same verb that the Apostle Paul used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, Paul combined bareo with the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative of hyperbole, which meant burdened to an extraordinary degree, oppressed with extreme suffering. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. We were in chapter 1 just the last month. Well, maybe a couple years ago, I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we want you to know, brethren, about our intense personal suffering. And if this is the Apostle Paul and Titus and Timothy and Silvanus. These are winter believers. This is suffering for blessing. For we want you to know, brethren, about our intense personal suffering, which took place in the Roman province of Asia Minor. Namely, that we received bareo, extreme suffering, oppression, to such an extraordinary degree, far beyond our human power and ability to endure, with the result that we despaired even of living. Now this is the same verb that the Apostle Paul is using here. Certainly, in our verse, certainly indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan. And this is Paul and all the other communicators, the winter believers, we groan, suffering, adversity, testing, being a burden, oppressed, receiving great suffering. And then he goes on and says, not that we would be unclothed. And this is the preposition epi plus the dative singular masculine of the relative pronoun hos, plus the present active indicative of thelo with the objective negative ou, plus the aorist middle infinitive of the verb ekduo. Now, Dana and Manti wrote a grammar called A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament. And on page 106, that book tells us that the preposition epi plus the dative in our verse should be correctly translated because. And then we have the relative pronoun hos with the preposition epi for the reason that or because, and then the verb thelo. This is a verb that comes from Texas. This is what they do there. They fell old down in Texas. Fellow means to wish. It means to desire. It means to want something. The objective negative ooh slams the door. We absolutely do not want to be ekduod, unclothed. We absolutely do not want to be ekduo. E-K-D-U long O, ekduo. A couple of points on this verb. One, ekduo literally means to strip or to take off. To strip or to take off. Two, ekduo figuratively refers to the human body as unclothed. The human body is unclothed. It is used figuratively for mortality. The human body is very mortal. It only operates a short time and then it dies. So it means figuratively the human body is unclothed, or mortality, or unclothed. Three, being in this tent and unclothed describes the mortality of our human body. Being in this tent and unclothed describes the mortality of our human body. It dies. And when it dies, we leave the tent. Four, while being clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body, that depicts immortality. While being clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body, that depicts immortality because it never dies. It is eternal. Our human body is very, very temporary. Our resurrection body is eternal. Our human body is mortal. Our resurrection body is immortal. Five, for the Apostle Paul, his present mortal life was like nakedness, marked by oppression and extreme suffering. And he knew that in a short time, this human body would die. So for the Apostle Paul, his present mortal life was like nakedness, marked by oppression and extreme suffering. Six, Paul was not concentrating on the temporal. He's not concentrating on his human body, his tent. But rather, Paul was concentrating on the eternal glory that awaited him. Paul was not concentrating on the temporal, his human body, which was very mortal and very temporary, but rather he was concentrating on the eternal glory that awaited him. And he taught this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, which says, "In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. While we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things that are seen, the visible, like our human body, but we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with, the things which are not seen, the invisible. For the things which are seen, the visible, like our human body, are very temporary. But the things which are not seen, the invisible, our resurrection body, are eternal. So he's picking up what he taught at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So Paul was not concentrating on the temporal, but rather he was concentrating on the eternal glory that awaited him, as he taught in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. 7, this included the amazing resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. It is eternal, it is immortal, it never ever wears out, it never dies. So this included the amazing resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens, and that's 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 and 2. The aorist tense of ek duo is a constative aorist, viewing our time in phase 2 in our human body in its entirety. The middle voice is the indirect middle, and the indirect middle is related to the subject in a very special sense. The infinitive is epexegetical, completing the idea of the main verb thelo. So the corrected translation, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed. Because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. And this is the conjunction Allah, plus the aorist middle infinitive of the verb ep and duomai. And that conjunction Allah, well, you've heard it many times. A-L-L-A, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. Correctly translated, but, and Allah sets up a contrast between one, our temporary human body on earth, with our eternal resurrection body in heaven. So Allah sets up a contrast, first of all, between our temporary human body on earth with our eternal resurrection body in heaven. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between being unclothed, because when we die, the soul and the spirit leaves the human body. So it sets up a contrast with being unclothed with being clothed. Clothed with our resurrection body. Third, it sets up a contrast between mortality with immortality. Sets up a contrast between mortality with immortality. And four, it sets up a contrast between mortality, a human body that dies, with a resurrection body and life forever. It sets up a contrast between mortality, a human body that dies, with the resurrection body and life forever. And then we have our word ep and duomai. Looks like that in the Greek, E-P-E-N. D-U-O-M-A-I. Ep-en-duomai. Now, we've had this verb before. This verb is only used two times in all of the New Testament scriptures. But this is the same verb we had back in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. So it's only found two times in 2 Corinthians 5, 2 and 2 Corinthians 5, 4. And both times it is used for the believer's intense longing to be clothed with his resurrection body. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. Literally, it means to put on clothes over something, to be clothed upon. Figuratively, it is used for putting on the resurrection body over the soul, being clothed with our resurrection body. So the corrected translation says in verse 4, "Certainly indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan, suffering adversity, testing of the winner believer, suffering for blessing, being burdened, oppressed, great suffering, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, mortality, a human body that dies, but to be clothed, immortality, a resurrection body that lives forever." The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing the church age believer being clothed with his resurrection body from the rapture forever and ever and ever to all eternity in its entirety. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The infinitive is epexegetical, completing the idea of the main verb thelo, to want, to desire, want to be clothed. And then that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And this is the nominative singular neuter of the adjective thanatos with the definite article, plus hina with the aorist passive subjunctive of katapino, plus the prepositional phrase hupa, plus the genitive singular of zoe with the definite article. The adjective thanatos thanatos, thanatos. Thanatos is the Greek word that means mortal. When the definite article is an adjective, when the definite article is used with thanatos, then the adjective becomes a noun. It has the force of a noun. And then it is correctly translated mortality, or what is mortal. Man in a human body that is very temporary and dies. And then we have the verb katapino. That's K-A-T-A-P-I-N long O. Katapino. One, literally, katapino means to drink down, to swallow. For drinking water, drinking liquid, swallowing liquid, swallowing water. That's the literal translation. Two, figuratively, katapino means to swallow up. To swallow up so that everything is gone. Extinction is the result. Three, mortality, the human body that dies, will be swallowed up by the resurrection body that lives forever, eternal life. Mortality, the human body that dies, will be swallowed up by the resurrection body that lives forever, eternal life. The aorist tense is the constative aorist once again, viewing mortality being swallowed up by life in its entirety. The passive voice is the voice of grace. At physical death, the church age believer receives the action of being swallowed up by life. The subjunctive mood goes with hina to introduce a purpose clause. So the corrected translation would be, so that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Or for the purpose that mortality might be swallowed up by life. And then we have the preposition hupa plus the genitive. That's H-U-P-O, hupa plus the genitive. And hupa plus the genitive denotes agency or cause and is correctly translated by. And then we have Zoe. Z long O long E, Zoe. And that's the Greek word life. And here it refers to the indestructible life of those clothed in the heavenly body. The interim body until the rapture, when then we receive our resurrection body. So the corrected translation of verse 4 sounds like this. Certainly, indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan. And we are winter believers, and the groaning is suffering for blessing. Suffering, testing, adversity for blessing. Being burdened, oppressed with great suffering, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, mortality in our human body that dies, but to be clothed, immortality in our resurrection body that lives forever. For the purpose that mortality may be swallowed up by life, immortality. Isn't that great? What a great verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. So again, certainly indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we, winter believers, groan, suffering for blessing, being burdened, oppressed, great suffering, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, mortality in our human body that dies, but to be clothed, immortality in a resurrection body that lives forever, for the purpose that mortality may be swallowed up by life, immortality. So, one, and by the way, this is a record for me. I've gone through two verses already. I got to slow down. One, Paul defines physical death for the believer as mortality swallowed up by life. How great is that? Paul defines physical death for the believer as mortality swallowed up by life. So, we're not dead. We're living. When this tent is taken down, we're not dead. We're living. We've been swallowed up by life. We should say when one of our members dies physically, we should say, he's living today. He lives today. He's been swallowed up by life. He lives today. So Paul defined physical death for the believer as mortality swallowed up by life. He is not dead. He is living. He is swallowed up by life. Two, physical death for the church age believer is simply the soul and the spirit departing from a very temporary human body to immortality, to life. Physical death for the church age believer is simply the soul and the spirit departing from a very temporary human body to immortality, to life. Three, there are two categories of church age believer with regard to physical death. Two categories of church-age believer with regard to physical death. First of all, those who die before the rapture. Those who die before the rapture. And secondly, the rapture generation that will not go through physical death. So there are two categories of church age believer with regard to physical death: those who die before the rapture, and the rapture generation that will not go through physical death. Four, those who die before the rapture go from mortality to an interim body until the rapture, when they will be clothed with their resurrection body. Both of these is life. They've been swallowed up by life. The life of the interim body waiting for the rapture, and the resurrection body, where they will be clothed with the resurrection body. So those who die before the rapture go from mortality to an interim body until the rapture, when they will be clothed with the resurrection body. Five, the rapture generation goes directly from living in their tent, their human body, to living in their resurrection body. The rapture generation goes directly from living in their tent, their human body, to living in their resurrection body. Six. So based on 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4, when a believer dies, we should say he lives today. We should say he lives today. Seven, he did not die. His soul and his human spirit departed and is swallowed up by life. He did not die. His soul and the human spirit, the real you, departed and is swallowed up by life. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. And in verse 5, we have a guarantee. The guarantee of our resurrection body and eternal home in heaven. And what is that guarantee? The guarantee is that at the moment of our salvation, we are all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And that is the guarantee. That's the down payment that we have waiting for us, a resurrection body, an eternal home in the heaven. So now we have the guarantee, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the very same thing is God. He wrought us. Now he that hath wrought us for the very same thing is God. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the articular aorist middle participle of the verb caught ergazomai, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative singular neuter of autos with houtos, and the nominative singular of theos. Well, we start out with the post-positive conjunction de. Now, many times this is a conjunction of contrast, but not here. In our verse, de is used in its transitional sense, and may be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We'll translate it now. And then we have the articular aorist middle participle of the verb kat ergazomai. That's K. A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Kat ergazomai. A couple of things on this verb. One, kat ergazomai is a compound word made up of the preposition kata, And kata means according to a Norman standard. And ergai, which means to accomplish, to carry out, to produce. To accomplish, to carry out, to produce. Point two. So literally it means to accomplish according to a Norman standard. To accomplish according to a Norman standard. To carry out according to a Norman standard. To produce according to a Norman standard. Three. Kader Gadzomai came to mean to achieve, to accomplish, to bring about, to produce. To achieve, to accomplish, to bring about, to produce. Four, Kader Gadzomai in our verse means to prepare someone for something. To prepare someone for something. Point five, the grace plan of God is preparing the royal family of God for eternity. The grace plan of God is preparing the royal family of God for eternity. That's what's powerful in this verse and what's being communicated in this verse. And let's turn over to Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. So Kader Gadzomai means to prepare someone for something. The grace plan of God is preparing us, the royal family of God, for eternity. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer founded Dallas Theological Seminary. This was the passage he loved to teach over and over and over again. And I had never met Dr. Chafer, but it was so powerful that other professors talk about this. This was Dr. Chafer's favorite. And he always taught this to teach the plan of God, the grace of God, the power of God, and eternal security. Verse 29, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he also called, elected to privilege. And those he called, elected to privilege, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And that taking you from God knowing about you that you'd believe in Christ in eternity past all the way to a resurrection body and living with God forever and ever and ever. So the grace plan of God is preparing the royal family of God for eternity. That's Kater Gadzomai. Six. The grace plan of God is preparing the church age believer for eternity through sanctification. The grace plan of God is preparing the church age believer for eternity through sanctification. Positional sanctification, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, where we are identified with Christ in his death, burial, and his resurrection. We are entered into union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Positional sanctification. Experiential sanctification. The universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power to live the unique spiritual life and advance to spiritual maturity. Go from babyhood to spiritual maturity, to have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart, and ultimate sanctification, receiving our eternal home, our resurrection body. So the grace plan of God is preparing the church age believer for eternity through sanctification. From positional sanctification and the baptism of the Spirit, entered into union with Christ, experiential sanctification, advancing to spiritual maturity, and ultimate sanctification, receiving our eternal home, resurrection body. 7, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit at salvation is the guarantee of our resurrection body, our eternal home in heaven. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit at salvation is the guarantee of our resurrection body, our eternal home in heaven. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing this grace preparation of the royal family from salvation to ultimate sanctification in its entirety. The middle voice is deponent, once again, middle in form but active in meaning. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. And as a noun, it should be correctly translated, now the one who prepared us, or now he who prepared us. That's the substantival participle. And the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is us, the royal family of God, church age saints. And then the preposition ace plus the accusative denotes purpose. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 228, says that when you have ace followed by the accusative of autos and houtos, which is what we have, it is an idiom and it should be correctly translated for this very purpose. For this very purpose. Ace, auta, tuta. For this very purpose. And then the nominative singular of theos is a predicate nominative, God. And the predicate nominative is the emphatic use of the nominative. The predicate nominative puts the spotlight on God the Father. God the Father is the one who prepared us for this very purpose. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father. All right. Well, didn't quite get this verse completed, but this is pretty damn good. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.